This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Matthias, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of.
Well, welcome to the Doc and Guru podcast today. Great to have you back. Thanks for all the support over the year. It seems crazy to reflect on the fact that we're almost facing the back end of the year. But today we've got with us Wayne Bischoff, the CEO of MediaMark. MediaMark has for many years established itself as a leading audio and digital solutions company, representing some of South Africa's most recognizable radio stations, including Jacaranda, East Coast Radio, and Kaya. So, MediaMark, Wayne Bishop, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you on the Doc and Guru podcast.
Great to be here finally, Gordon. I'm excited to get on here for a while. So, next I want to be with you in studio, though.
I think so. We're going to try and do that, but we cope with the frailties of modern communication. I say your voice has a delightful, lyrical, electronic, sort of timbre to it, if that's the correct word. So Wayne, just a couple of audio
and sonic branding. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think so. I need to sit with some of your team and take notes on the technical side of recording. This is my torment is sitting here trying to push buttons and think and talk at the same time and look fabulous. How do I look, as a matter of interest, on the visual?
You look magnificent. The hair looks magnificent.
Excellent. That's fantastic. We'll have you back next week. But Wayne, just to give us a bit of background on MediaMark, where they are in the market. So I know there's been a broadening of the offering way beyond radio into the total digital audio kind of landscape. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So very briefly, MediaMark are 25 years old this year. We started off as a purely radio sales house representing all the new Greenfield licenses plus Cogiso media brands. I mean, Radmark back in its day helped launch everything from YFM to even the privatized KFM. So we have a reputation for taking and growing and powerful radio brands. The last sort of 2 years or so, 3 years, I'd say, we've morphed into becoming this radio sales house with a digital sales team and a TV and an events and everything in pretty much silos. And we've pretty much, consolidated into an audio and digital solutions house, which is our radio stations, which are now, we talk about our audio brands, and that's because they've branched out into everything beyond FM, podcasting, digital audio, streaming, first-party data. It's brushed way beyond just what it was. Then we have our digital team, which is morphing and becoming more hybrid into the audio team. So now we represent some of the largest radio audience network in the country, I'm leaving out SABC because they're a public service broadcaster. We're sitting with 3.2 million from our commercial stations, and now with our new community radio offering, it takes us to over 4 million in terms of an audience. So we're pretty much focused into what we're good at, you know, and we're doing the main thing as it were, and leaving out all the bits and bobs. And if anything comes our way, which we collaborate with, which makes sense to us, we'll look at it, but we're sticking to our expertise and our knowledge.
And you've got a great team with, as you say, 25 years of experience in this space and innovation, which is fantastic. Now, you mentioned Kagiso Media, and to a large degree, it's the ethos of the Kagiso Trust, Kagiso Media, that has a bearing on our topic of conversation today, which is the launch of your ComVibe Community Radio Initiative. Ultimately, since the inception of the Kagiso Trust, the mandate really has been to uplift and empower disadvantaged communities. So just tell us a bit about the trust and where it fits in and how it drives, in particular, the ComVibe Community Radio Initiative, which we're going to be talking about this morning.
Yes, as you know, the trust was set up some 30 years ago by the Reverend Beyers Naudé and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and you know, they branched out, and that's our core shareholder, along with other shareholders. That we're part of Kagiso Media, which is part of Kagiso Tiso Group. But it's everything's about trust and giving back. So we know that a huge amount of the money that we generate goes back to helping communities. That's almost built into the DNA of the organization. So with the ComVibe initiative, we've always tried to see where can we give back in terms of community projects, community platforms and media. We've been involved for many years now with the Vitz Radio Academy, which is through the voice of Vitz, which is community radio, in training, upskilling, educating, taking interns. And we've helped with some community radio, community TV projects in the past. We've always had a wish and desire. So it made sense when we could finally get to it to see, can we take an offering of community radio stations in the Western Cape, which is the most, I suppose, advanced area where community radio has taken off, and it's got deep roots in those areas, and see how can we have assist them on the one hand through monetizing them, because there have been issues about trust and clients not wanting to advertise through them through a concern about are my ads being flighted, can I trust that they're being flighted, is the money that I'm getting back to the stations or not. There've been a lot of trust issues, but what we bring with is through Kagiso Media and ourselves, you know, 25 years of reputation, we're making sure that whatever we do to uplift these stations, whatever we can do for the ad industry is that you book through us, you know and you trust you're going to get the audience that you're buying. You're also going to get proof of broadcast, and the stations are going to get their cash at the end of the day. And through that, we're going to do a lot more things like training and things like that going down the line to assist them. So that's the first leg of it, and if it really works out well, which we know it will, and we've already got some traction, we look to obviously roll this out nationally down the line.
I mean, it's a wonderful concept, and you raise the critical point of trust, you know, on all the way through the funnel, from the advertiser trusting that the spot appears as prescribed, and the media owners themselves, the end point, actually receiving money for the transaction, which I think has been problematic in the past. So I think it's a wonderful testimony to the ethos of the trust, that, you know, everybody's buying into, the upside of it. And, you know, I think, you know, many of our listeners will be aware that, you know, if they follow me on Twitter or have listened to the Doc and Guru podcast, that I've got a passion for community radio. So I'm really excited to have played a small part, in this initiative. But let's just loop back. I mean, the concept aside, we're aggregating audiences to community radio stations and giving all the hygiene factor boxes the correct tick. But just let's take one step back. Why the Western Cape? It's an incredibly complicated market. Why there? Why not something easier?
Yeah, you're right. Why are they not something easy? I think we know that there's a lot of stats and research done. I know you've seen some of this and you've been part of it as well. In terms of national delivery of TV especially, there's an under-delivery in the Western Cape in terms of GRPs. There's a lot of fluctuations down there. There's a lot of issues around sampling sizes in the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape that have, I think, scared some advertisers off. And it's a market that is probably the second largest market after Gauteng. So we haven't had a strong base, in the Western Cape as MediaMark, Kagiso Group, you know, besides some of our shareholding through one of the local radio commercial stations there. But, you know, the market is quite developed in terms of community radio. So they're keen to try those with us. It was easier to get through a great deal of 8, 9, 10 community stations and to basically offer a national footprint from a MediaMark point of view. You know, so that's where we started from. We went through a whole process of getting them on board, showing what we can do for them. And the guys at these stations were leapt forward to say, how can we work with you? How can we make this happen? So they've been very bullish and very, very keen to work with us. And, you know, we're starting to see some early traction already, which I think, you know, is going to be amazing for community radio as a whole. And hopefully we'll build some more trust for all community radio, because it's an area that has been the under-resourced, it's been underfunded, the advertisers have stayed clear of it to a large extent, and there's a way around it that we're putting together to make sure people can trust it, spend with it, and get the results from these hyper-local communities. And I think the relevance and the context that it brings to advertisers, you know, and the response they're going to get from communities where there's huge trust in their local, hyper-local radio stations, effectively.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've raised so many important points there. But for me, what's exciting is the fact that we have a virtuous circle. You know, we have had, quite scary rates at times on radio over the years, if I look at it. And, you know, if you don't broaden the investment base, then the same stations will be the recipients of the same level of investment. So I think a broadening of the base is in the best interest of everybody. From an advertising perspective, that we don't sort of fuel the demand-driven inflation. But more importantly for me, you've talked about, you know, the hyper-local stations, the importance of the community connection. We're going into a very volatile period of elections, and the presence of a robust, agile, and functional community radio sector for me is absolutely paramount that we have that in place. Because that's a major contributor to communication and environment democracy. So the fact that you're getting some advertisers already, you mentioned a few off air, and I won't talk about that at this point, but it's exciting to know that people are responding to the reassurance of the campaign. We've addressed the issue of, functional shortcomings and you've got software in place that's going to be able to track and report on ads booked and flighted. Just tell us a bit about the back end of that.
So a little bit about the back. And first of all, I mean, I failed to mention the sort of numbers that we're getting to. There's nearly 900,000 combined aggregated audience in the Western Cape. We've broken them, these offers, into, you know, several SEM segments that advertisers buy into. But I think what's important mentioning is we talk about proof of broadcast. We partner with media hosts. Media hosts provide proof of broadcast through us to the advertisers and the marketers to prove that your ads were flighted and where they were flighted. We've made sure that we put these packages onto both Telmar and Nielsen's tools, buying tools. So it's easy as it's a simple kind of one-stop shop to just press the button and buy your audiences on across these community stations. So that's the simplicity of it. It's a one-stop shop, the proof of broadcast, the guaranteed payment to stations is one that is it's really, really important, because I don't think marketers have realized how much over the years, how many stations hadn't received their money, sometimes completely or otherwise very, very late, many months later, which hurts them. We guarantee payment very shortly after we get paid by the agencies or the advertisers. That's something we guarantee actually to all our brands that we represent. So we're offering low CPTs, very low duplication. I think that's one thing to stress, is that the duplication with the big commercial stations is low. And as you said, rightfully so, with elections coming up, you know, community radio is vital for democracy. It's where decisions are made. It's where the people on air represent the actual real interests, whether it's where people live in terms of common interests or belief systems. They represent those interests very locally. So what those communities think and say is going to make a big difference to who they're going to vote for. So I think it is critically important that the stations are able to debate the issues of the day, what's happening in their own communities. all the rest of our regional stations are regional. So they don't get done at the hyper-local level, except maybe through digital audio, but that community radio can. So yeah. It's in all our interest to grow these stations. And from those stations, you get all the amazing talent that comes through the ranks, eventually ends up in the big commercial stations anyway. So this is where we grow a whole new crop of amazing, amazing talent.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
And there's some amazing voice talent out there, and it's really encouraging, because if we want to transform the media industry, and we do, we need to dip beyond the big metropolitan bowls and start sourcing talent right across the country, across all cultures, across all genders, so that we have a rich cultural mix in the audio space. Just, you know, on that rich sort of mix as well, you know, we addressed in the presentation we did on the roadshow a week or two back the issue of nuance and how vital it is for advertisers to invest in the nuance of that community rather than just having one 30-second commercial which is flighted multilaterally across everything. And I won't go into the obvious one, which is part of the presentation I did, but talk to us about, you know, how from a creative perspective, how do you tap into cultural nuance like that?
You know, I think what brands need to do, you've got to move away from the one, as you know, the one size fits all approach. It's always been an issue across our radio brands here, but tapping to and finding out from us and from the stations, what their community needs, what are their trigger points. We have a lot of first party data for our big commercial stations, which helps us tap into exactly what those audiences need. We don't have that necessarily yet from our community radio stations, but if you just speak to the station managers and the people on air, you'll pick it up so quickly about exactly how those people, what they think, their passions, their likes, their dislikes, what's concerning them. And to just take that tone and bring it into whatever creative, we can look at. And just to touch on that, you know, there was a research study I saw at ECTA, and ECTA is the big European based TV and radio broadcast group that we are members of. It was a couple of years back, just before COVID lockdown. There's a company called Veritonic. And Veritonic do audio, it's an audio intelligence platform where you kind of just bluntly feed your ads into it. It just spits it out and tells you this will work, that won't work, your tone's wrong, your messaging is the wrong place. And through all their research, the most important part, the important element that drives ROI for an ad campaign is creative. It's more important than reach, more important than brand, than frequency, than everything else. The most important element, I think, was nearly 50% was due to the creative. And we know that, and we've seen that in the past. The best radio ads work exceptionally well, sonic triggers, jingles. But, you know, I think that's something we all have to drive as an audio community and radio community, is to drive the importance of great creative that speaks to your audience. It works, we know it works. And when it's not thought about, it's an afterthought. You know, then sometimes like, oh, radio doesn't work. No, radio works exceptionally well, but the messaging is something that has to be looked at. And that's something I think we all need to drive hard. And that goes right down to understanding your audiences that you're reaching and targeting and paying respect and being respectful of them and their needs and how they like to be communicated with.
Yeah, you've raised so many important points there. And just one of the issues which really intrigued me in working on the background for this project was the issue of sonic triggers. I've recently completed the ThinkBox TV Masters course, which I would recommend anybody out there who's listening to do. It's free, and I think the new course starts now in September, where they look at, ironically, the contribution of radio and sonic triggers to enhancing the ad stock of your television campaigns. That with the advent of multi-screening, not everybody is locked in the screen. We understand that. But one of the upsides of that is that at least people who are multi-screening while they're watching your TV commercial are in the same room. So what you require is some kind of trigger device to get me off my alternative screen back on screen to see your TV commercial. And research shows that one of the most critical points or catalytic points is the sonic trigger. And there's a growing body of evidence to suggest that when you use radio in conjunction with television, over and above audience and reach and numbers, you actually enhance the comprehension, the noting, the liking of TV commercials, which I think is a fantastic benefit that has grown out of this understanding of multi-channel media mixes. And Kantar was one of the studies I had a look at. They did a fabulous report last year in a presentation, a mastership, media mastership, where 34% of the sort of positive benefits of media performance come from multi-channeling, which I think is a really important issue.
I completely agree with that. I mean, we talk about the amplifier effect. There's a lot of research around the amplifier effect of radio, and it's absolutely true. You know, you see on TV, then you hear it, and it reflects, and then it takes you down that funnel. Now I know about you. Can I find you? That's the web. They'll find you. Can I trust you? You know, and that's reputation. If I trust you, you know, can I engage with you? What does social media say? That full feedback loop back to that place. Yeah. All part of it, that multiplier effect. So it's critical.
Yeah, it's critical. And I think, you know, what's important is that we just unpack that slightly, because the one of the primary contributions of the Com5 packages, and I'm going to ask you just to talk very briefly about some of the stations involved, is obviously that you fill the gap. There's this historical and ongoing under-delivery by television into the Western Cape, which is very intriguing. There's a temptation to say, well, it's statistical, it's numbers, but it's not. It's just symptomatic of a complex viewing market down there. So the Com5 package will make up the numbers, but more importantly, it will also enhance the comprehension against those numbers and the noting of your commercial. So that's really critical that we get into that space. So just loop back. Sorry, I should have maybe spoken about this a bit earlier. What are some of the stations that are involved? Some of them are recognizable and well known, others less so. And that's the beauty, that even the small ones get to play with the bigger ones.
Well, that's the whole bit. I mean, often, you know, if I, as a marketer, know two community stations down there because they have loud voices and they have maybe a bit more money in the community they come from, I know them, so I keep spending my little bit of cash on them to say I'm supporting community radio. But we've got a host station. They include CCFM, Eden, Fine Music Radio, Tigerberg. I know there's Ivanello's been in there. There's Voice of the Cape. There's Heartbeat. So it's all your key stations down there. And that gives us an audience that, you know, nearly 900,000. And there's very little duplication at all between them, because these are community stations that you listen to for a reason. Either because common interest, whether it's religion, whether it's where you live, or the music style and taste. So, you know, and they all get a piece of the pie. They all get an equal piece of the pie according to their audiences. So, you know, it's helping the biggest guys be part of a national buy. And it's helping the smaller guys get onto the schedule, basically, and helping grow them.
Yeah, and what surprised me was that very point that you raised there, was the low duplication. Although I shouldn't have been surprised, because it's entirely logical. You know, you wouldn't be listening across communities. But collectively, the Combat community packages have something like almost 1 in 3 radio listeners in the Western Cape who also watch television are Com5 listeners. So it's a very high share of ear, which I was quite impressed by.
Yeah, so I think the Western Cape, as I said, has always been more community radio focused, and one of the early adopters of community radio.
Yeah. So just as we sort of wrap up now, a couple of questions, functional questions. The presentation that we did is, I think, going to be made available on the MediaMark website. So all of the stuff and all the numbers we talked about should be there. Okay. So we'll stick a link out with this podcast.
All of it. Yeah.
Okay. Brilliant. All right. So if you want the numbers in the background, please just go to the MediaMark website. And the presentation, the PowerPoint presentation, and the numbers will be there for you. And then just in terms of contact, it's your normal MediaMark sales execs have been how do I speak to somebody within MediaMark?
Well, the easiest way is, obviously, people will know their contacts over here. If not, they can hit us directly through the website, through our social media platforms, through Instagram, through LinkedIn, through Facebook. We're all over the place. And I'm easily available, as everyone knows. And I think most people seem to have my phone number. So, you know, call me directly or WhatsApp me directly, and I'll put you in touch with the right people. Yeah, because I'm passionate personally about this, this project and seeing it succeed on all levels.
So the English teacher in me can't help correcting you on one point. You're richly and widely dispersed when I'm all over the place. That's the difference between the two of us, particularly when it comes to recording this alone in my working from home office. But yeah, look, I just say to all the team out there and all the people who participated and fed questions into the mix, it was really exciting. I see this as a wonderful step in a new direction. More collaboration across the media industry has got to be good for everybody. Less fragmentation. So I'm really excited to have been part and parcel of that. Any final wrap up words for the listeners out there? Just generally about the state of radio. There's a whole.
I think radio is in a strong place, and you know, over COVID, we found the research we did show that, you know, we maintained listenership. People, in fact, came back to radio in a bigger way. Trust has increased with radio because there's been this massive, you know, lack of trust throughout the world, in fact, with media. And I think people have come back to radio as a whole as a trustworthy place. You can trust the brand, you trust your presenters on there, you trust the information you're getting from the radio stations, and that even more so when you get down to community radio level. So I think the trust factor is something that has been overlooked in the past. And if you trust the brand that you're listening to, the radio station you're listening to, you trust the ads more, there's more ad response for the market at the end of the day. It's as simple as that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the points we discussed in that presentation was the over-reliance on benchmarking against North American and Western European norms. So level of trust in North American, Western Europe for radio or advertising on radio is pretty low. It's about 22%. In Africa and South Africa, not surprisingly, given the construct of the market, it's twice that level, and something like 80%, that is complete trust. 80% of South Africans completely trust or somewhat trust traditional radio, which I think is intuitively what I would have expected in Africa. We're not North America, we're not Western Europe, and we should really not allow ourselves to be dictated by those norms. And coming back to the ad response, what we see is that, you know, relative to untrusted media, and untrusted media are aggregated. Now, I shouldn't be saying this on your show. There's a lot of distrust in the social media space, and I know you've got social media platforms. So if we look at response to advertising, traditional media like radio versus social media, the response rate is twice as high. And if we looked at one thing which I found very interesting in the Nielsen Trust in Advertising database, community radio stations are twice as likely to respond to live events from a radio station if it's community-based. And that, too, I think is intuitively what one would expect. The closer to home, the more likely I am to rely on the trust. We saw that in the Edelman Trust Barometer, that the trust, global trust is shrinking. You know, almost two out of every three people around the world say that distrust is their default position. So it's entirely consistent with global patterns that our trust bubble is shrinking. I trust myself, I trust my family, and I trust my next door neighbor and the community I live in.
Yeah, absolutely. That circle of trust is more local now. And I think just with social media, I totally agree with you that social media is a place with the lowest levels of trust. You know, where we use it for our radio brands have social media presence with Jacaranda, Kaya, or East Coast Radio. And when Jack Rand at East Coast are putting out a messaging or posts on social media, that's trusted because it's still coming from the station. They're just using the platform of social media. Of course, correct. The problem is that there's still a significant minority of people who tend to believe things they see on social media, as we know over the last few years, which is quite terrifying. But thank God there seems to be a smaller and smaller minority. And hopefully they'll become more and more irrelevant.
Yeah. And I think that's a very important point, which you quite correct to have raised, that if I'm off a trusted platform like a Jacaranda or whatever the case may be, and using social media that derive from that platform, it's the platform itself that is the portal of trust. You know, I think in the presentation, I talked about one of my favorite metaphors being the Stargate. You might remember the television series or the movie initially. Yeah. And the Stargate was a portal that you entered, and through the portal you entered into another world. And I think that for me is the way I view community stations. If you're viewing it purely in terms of an audience, and yes, these aggregated numbers of 900 or 1,000 are impressive, but it's the role of those numbers as a portal into the community in which I want to engage, that's the real offering at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. Perfectly said, Gordon.
Well, Wayne, thanks once again for the time. Thanks for involving me in the project. To the listeners, thanks for joining us. If you have any questions, please direct them to the Dr. Guru podcast. If you do want to get hold of the information, check it out on the MediaMark website. The presentation's there. And thank you for all of those who've phoned in out of concern and writing about my marriage to the doc. I can assure you our marriage is well. We're just having holidays in different places. I've been on the top of Sani Pass and he's in Cape Town. So we're alive and well and still romantically and intellectually entwined. So once again, thanks for the time, Wayne. Really appreciate you being with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Gordon. Really appreciate it. Cheers.
And so that was another episode of the Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mataz. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views and certainly will respond. And hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc. And it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia. And I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo. And we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.